The first reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. This can be found on page 1061 of the Church Bibles. Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is
the clocks haven't put you off. That's good. Let's pray as we come to this passage. Father, thank you for the incredible sight that the women didn't find in the tomb, that they found it empty. Help us to learn from that this morning, we pray. Help us to follow in their footsteps and to glorify you. Amen. Earlier today in Hovd in Western Mongolia, Jesse and Aggie and their children met together with that mixed congregation from Mongolia and Kazakh community. And they will have cried, "Christ is risen indeed, hallelujah." A couple of hours ago in Kampala, Kokas and Naomi, Samuel and Lovey, Rachel and Calvin with their respective church congregations will have met together. It's probably, the services are probably still going on, actually. But they will have met together, and they too will have cried, "Christ is risen indeed, hallelujah." In Kasoro, in Ye, and Panyana, Bishops Godfrey and Levy and Semi will have declared to their congregations, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen." You're not as awake as I thought you were. Indeed, by the time that the earth has rotated 360 degrees today, over 2 billion Christians across the globe will have made their Easter responses that Christ is risen. What a contrast. What a contrast to the dull grey light of that first Easter morning in Jerusalem. As a small group of women make their sorrowful way towards a tomb, they come bearing spices to anoint the body of their friend, cruelly crucified the previous Friday. They'd seen him die. They'd followed those who took the body to the tomb. They had seen a stone placed at the entrance. And then Sabbath intervened. So now, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they come to honor the body by anointing it. What did they talk about on the way there? Or was their grief one that, as it is so often for us, calling for silence, each lost in their own memories, wanting to get what they had to do done, then maybe they could grieve properly. Luke makes no mention of them worrying about the stone. Maybe they'd not even thought of it. Grief does that, doesn't it? You focus on the task in hand, and other considerations vanish from sight. The absence of the stone may have been a welcome surprise, one thing less to worry about. Or it may have been a shock, who or what has been here before us. Luke gives no clue to their reaction, but simply reinforces their intention to go on to enter the tomb. Up to that point, it was all normal. Spices, journey, tomb, enter. But no body. Or rather, Luke puts it, they did not find a body. It's a strange sort of set of words to use, isn't it? Tombs of that time weren't large, even ones that were built for a family. There were only a certain number of ledges in there that a body could be placed on. They did not find a body. This was not what they were expecting. The NIV has them wondering. It's a word that's used elsewhere to mean being at a loss at what they were seeing, being perplexed, being worried by what they saw or didn't see. Had he really died? Yes, we were there at the foot of the cross. We saw it. Were we in the right tomb? Yes, we'd followed assiduously on Friday as Joseph and the others had taken the body. Had the tomb been robbed, would the robbers come back? Other than no body, everything seemed to be in place. Why? 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 Yet the situation doesn't seem to have frightened them at that point. The fright was about to happen. In a confined space, in semi-darkness, gleaming light suddenly surrounds them. No wonder they are now frightened. Then the question is asked. Again, it's a why question. But it's the gleaming bodies clothed in light who ask it, not the women. Why are you looking among the dead? Why? Why? Rather than having to provide an answer, the women encounter their own Emmaus Road experience. Remember what he told you. You've walked the journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. You followed the shame of the procession to the cross. You followed him here to the tomb. He told you of the third day, today. He's not here, he's risen. Don't you remember? Don't you remember? For them, is it relief as they hear that news? Is it joy? Is it embarrassment? Then they remembered what he had said. Any sense of joy or relief must have vanished completely when they got back to the others in that upper room and they told them what they hadn't found and what they had found and what they'd been told. I wonder whether you've ever told words of excitement to somebody else and been met with a blank look, because that's what happened to them. Their words seemed like so much nonsense. The greatest news the world has ever encountered, and it seemed like nonsense. Let's not be harsh on those disciples. The 2 billion loudly proclaiming he has risen indeed today. We've had nearly 2,000 years of experience, of reflection, of teaching, of theology to get to this point to really understand, as far as we can, what resurrection means. They haven't had that. And they're mystified and they just don't get it at that point. It takes time. Only Peter seems to have been stirred by what they said. The last we hear of him in Luke's account, he's leaving the court of the high priest on the Thursday evening or early Friday morning. He's in tears. He'd failed and denied his knowledge of Jesus. And he knows it. I wonder, did Peter remember those earlier words of Jesus that first Easter morning? Not the ones about coming back from the dead, but once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers, Peter. Peter sees no angels. There are no further words for him. He sees the linen cloths lying there, empty. And we're told away that he goes away wondering. The NIV does us a disservice here because it uses the same English word as we used of the women earlier, them wondering. For them, it was being perplexed. Luke deliberately uses a different Greek word here for wondering. It's one of marveling, one of astonishment, one almost, might say, of rejoicing. Had Peter got it as he's there? I think the full realization came a bit later when he met his Lord face to face. But I think there in that tomb, Peter began to understand what it was that the women had said to them back in the upper room. Who in that story do you identify with this morning? Are you with that group left in Jerusalem who heard the women but concluded it was so much nonsense? 2 billion believers alive today and more down the ages since that first Easter would say, think again if that's the case. This is either the most outrageous example of fake news or it's the most incredible news we could ever share. But death did not hold our Lord Jesus. He is not here. He is risen. Death has either been defeated or it hasn't. And as Paul was later to write, if this is all nonsense, those of us who believe are the most to be pitied. Maybe you're with the women as they got to the tomb. You've heard the Jesus story many, many times. You've followed the women into the tomb. You've never answered that question. Don't you remember? The tomb may have been empty, yet the significance of that has not made any further impression on you. A good teacher was hated by jealous enemies who put him to death. He was buried. And that's it. End of story. Yet what if you remember those words he spoke? And on the third day I will rise again. Does that not change everything? Particularly as now an empty tomb is proclaiming he is risen. Proclaiming death has been defeated. What then? Don't you remember what he said? Are you with Peter? You've heard the testimony of others. You go off to investigate what you have heard, but you walk with a heavy heart because you know your failures. Can a risen Lord care for me? As Peter looks in the tomb, he marvels at what he has seen. He's not yet seen the risen Jesus face to face, but the heaviness of heart is being dispelled. Assurance of forgiveness will come. The cross was not the end, but an essential beginning of a renewed life in following Jesus is now possible. That renewal comes to life as Jesus comes to life. One of our songs put it, in his death is my birth, in his life is my life. Are you with the women as they return from the tomb? They remembered those words, and the reality of the risen Christ begins to dawn on them. Their mood on the journey back from the tomb becoming lighter and brighter, just as the daylight became lighter and brighter as the sun rose on that first Easter morning. But when you've tried to share that joy with others, they've rejected your testimony as so much nonsense. Don't be discouraged. The 2 billion who proclaim Christ is risen this morning had to hear the story from somebody. Why not you? And they responded, although many have not. Keep sharing. Keep praying. Keep telling others of the risen Lord. Easter morning was the start of the spread of good news. Sins forgiven, life restored. Death is not the end. And 2 billion today proclaim it. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia.